Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Hello, everybody. This is Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and I'm here with my co-host, Kirsten Milliken. This is Attention Talk Radio, and tonight is Wednesday, October the 3rd in the year 2012 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and our topic tonight is when your IEP and Section 504 aren't working. And with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Jeffrey Katz. Kirsten, are you ready for a great show?
I am. I've been ready for this show since this summer when we first talked to Dr. Katz.
Yeah,
How about you? I'm
real excited. You know, for everybody out there in listener land, you know, sometimes we get some guests and some recommendations, and we'll have a conversation beforehand. And this one actually kind of came to us, and Kirsten and I were just in our early days of working together. So we actually recorded a conversation we're having Dr. Katz to get ready for this, and the conversation was absolutely spectacular. It's almost like maybe we'll do kind of like a hidden show down the road, Kirsten, where we just kind of take that and kind of like put it out there for everybody to listen to. Even this show, I know, is going to be great, but that's a great sequel because it's just a lot of really good information. And what was fun about it, Kirsten, for me is I thought I understood what Dr. Katz did, and then when we interviewed him, I realized how I misinterpreted. I wasn't paying attention the right way, and this is just going to be a spectacular show. And this is really kind of up your alley. I mean, you have a lot of experience in this space, right?
I have a good deal of experience. After talking to Dr. Katz, I realize I have a lot less than I think I do. He really knows his stuff, and I'm looking forward to this show because of that, and because I think he's got a lot of great suggestions that'll kind of help to guide the parents,
you know,
that are listening,
you know,
when
Kirsten,
it comes to IEPs and 504s and all that good stuff for dealing with the school in general. So
I've been thinking about this. You and I are going to have to figure out, we're going to have to give ourselves a degree at some point in time, because the education that we're getting with our guests coming on and asking these questions is something you kind of can't get in the book. So I don't know what that line is, but something we should get, like our PhD in Attention Talk Radio at some point in time, just from the education. You think so?
A PhD in ADD.
There we go. Well, here, let's jump to some announcements real quick so that we can get into the meat of the show. Everybody out there, you're aware of our Facebook page at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio. As a reminder, you can access our archive shows, you can see upcoming shows, you can listen to the show live, you can sign up for Attention Talk News, which we're going to talk about in a second. It's a very robust experience, but you can also access us at attentiontalkradio.com, search for us on iTunes, and for those out there that are Apple users, if you have the new operating system, Apple actually has a podcast app now, and if you download that, they're kind of taking iTunes and peeling off into pieces. If you download that and search for Attention Talk Radio, it's very easy to access our show. So if you've got an iPhone or iPad, you can sit in the kitchen and play one of our archives while you're making dinner, et cetera. So it's real easy. With that being said, Kirsten, we have Attention Talk News. The next edition is coming out here in a couple days. You want to tell our listeners a little bit about what Attention Talk News is about?
Absolutely. I'd love to. My favorite word there. I think we should just somehow incorporate that into the newsletter. But Attention Talk News, we are trying to not just give our listeners and our viewers and our readers some information about the shows that we've recently done and the ones that are upcoming so they can put them into their schedules, but also giving you some video information. This month is actually ADHD Awareness Week, and it's also in the UK, they have Dyslexia Awareness Week, so there's some information around that, and there's also a video about that in this week's newsletter that's coming out. There is an attention teaser and guest writing from Dr. David Nowell, who we've had as a guest before. So lots of great information, and there's a button there so that you can sign up to get the newsletter. It comes out twice a month, and we're trying to develop that into something that'll be interesting and informative and give you different ways of learning about ADHD from different sources.
Yeah, and you know, it's what's exciting about it is think of it as like your own digital newspaper, but it's not like the traditional thing where you sit down. It's actually got audio, it's got video, it's got print, it's got teasers and some cartoons at different times, so it's real robust. Because we're actually kind of working towards the Attention Talk Network, which would include Attention Talk Video, which I'm working on. We hope to release relatively soon. It's a lot more complicated in terms of technology, but it's actually a talk show on YouTube to complement. So you've got video, you've got audio, and you've got print. So the key thing right now is if you really want to be tapped in, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio, and in the tab section you can kind of click on a button that will allow you to sign up for the new Attention Talk News, our newsletter, and you'll get that. So with that being said, the only other real major announcement is, come on, everybody out there, if you haven't made your reservations for the CHAD conference, it's time to do it right now. It's 5 weeks away. It's in San Francisco, California. It's the 25th anniversary of CHAD. You can't afford you can't not do it. You actually have to go, and it's going to be very, very exciting. They've got a lot of special things that are going on. Kirsten and I will be there, so that's worth the price of admission. Just come up and talk to us about radio, the show, and give us some ideas and tips. But again, if you haven't made reservations, go to chadd.org, check it out, and sign up. And I know that our guest tonight actually will be a presenter too, so you'll actually be able to come up and meet him. So with that, I think the announcements are done. Kirsten, can you introduce Dr. Katz so we can get into the show?
Yes, I will. Dr. Katz is a clinical psychologist, and he lives in Virginia. He specializes in the assessment and treatment of ADHD, learning disabilities, and the behavioral difficulties of children and adolescents. He advocates for his clients in their school systems in regard to the rules and regulations that govern Section 504 and special education. Dr. Katz is a member of the National Board of Directors at CHAD, who is holding that conference that we're talking about. And it's children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, and he's the co-chair of their public policy committee. Dr. Katz was also recently the keynote speaker at the Virginia Tech Disabilities Awareness Day, and I am looking forward to having this conversation right now so that we can all learn some more about how to advocate for our kids in the school system.
Dr. Katz, welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me. I'd like you to tell me more good things about me.
Right? Go ahead,
nice.
go on.
That's right.
Let me kind of frame this out a little bit. In getting ready for this conversation, as I said, we had a discussion, and what was interesting to me is that everybody's different. Everybody's kids are different, and the schools are designed just like anything in this world, procedurally, to be kind of efficient. And it's easy to treat people in a one-size-fits-all world. So it's kind of a generic type thing. But the fact of the matter is that's not the way it is. And Dr. Katz, what amazed me is you are just such a resource for parents out there that are dealing with school systems to kind of help coach them, educate them, mentor them, support them, that this isn't a one-size-fits-all world, and to help them understand how they can get what their individual child needs. And it was just amazing to me because you're just such a resource. So to begin with, can you just describe to our audience a little bit of what you do, and then we'll get into some of the philosophies and some of the details that I think all the parents should know.
Yes. Well, as Kirsten mentioned, I'm a clinical psychologist, so I do the regular clinical psychology thing. But what I became very interested in when I was working with ADD kids is that they have a lot of problems in school, and the difficulties in school end up at home. So I would see families that would come in, they're very angry with the kid because the kid's not doing their homework and they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing in school. The parents are getting calls, and everybody ends up very angry with the kid. But what kind of struck me was if things were going better in school, things would go much better at home also. And as I grew in my knowledge about ADD, I realized that, the schools do want it a certain way. And they, may be willing to give a certain number of accommodations, but beyond that, we don't do anything. And you end up with kids who really end up very, very frustrated. Their families are very frustrated, and the school doesn't always get it. And, I think I said one of the first things that upsets me is when a teacher will say, well, I have a kid who's ADD, and let me tell you what worked with my kid.
Mm-hmm.
And generally, that's a bad sign.
Mm-hmm.
Because the teacher may have experience with their own kid, but kids are different. It's not, the kid is ADD. It's, you know, here's Johnny. Johnny's affected by ADD. Now, how it affects Johnny may be different than how it affects Paul or Steve. You know, kids are individuals, and when you are designing interventions or accommodations or trying to work with a kid in school, you got to take it where it's at.
If I can interject here right now, and Kirsten, I'm sure she's reading my mind right now, right, Kirsten? You know where I'm going with this, right?
Go.
We did a show a couple years ago with Dan Pruitt, and it was the main versions of ADHD. He took the DSM-4s. There's three different diagnoses. There are different symptoms, and he went through the math. All the possible combinations, there's 18,000 different, over 18,000 different versions of ADHD, which gives the credibility. Once you've seen one person with ADHD, you've seen one person with ADHD.
Right, exactly.
And
right.
I think that speaks so much to your comment is that, well, my son had ADHD. Well, they're not all the same. Everybody's a little bit different, and that's the
right.
Therein lies the key.
Well, exactly. I'm dealing with a kid today who's ADD and has traits of Asperger's. And he's not doing his work. He's gluing his hands together in mathematics. But he's extremely bright. So I ended up talking with the teacher today, and it was funny. She kind of wanted permission from me to not make him do his morning work. In fact, she gives work to the kids. If they come to class early, you know, at 8:30 in the morning rather than 9, they have work to do. And this kid was kind of not into it. He needs time to settle into the class. And she needed some permission from me to say that that's okay not to make him do the work. But it took 3 weeks into school now, and the mother's been calling me pretty much every other day saying the kid is so upset and frustrated when he gets home already. And she's like, well, how do we make him do the work? And it's like, well, I don't know that that's where you start. The issue is how do you get the kid comfortable in school so he doesn't perceive you as an ogre who only wants to upset him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not feeling supported at school. And the first thing is to back up a little bit and say, hey, you know, what can I do that would be helpful for you? And I think a lot of times teachers miss that. In fact, they don't talk to the kids about what's going on, and the kids really don't feel supported. The kids only feel like, you know, if it's not this way, if it's not the way the teacher says, then the teacher's mad at me, and there's something wrong with me for not being able to do it. And that's not a good place to start from.
I want to kind of back up for a second. We actually have another guest that we are recording some shows with right now that we kind of talk mm-hmm. about the obligation of schools to go out and find those that have
right.
some issues and provide some accommodations. And the gist of the show, to kind of tip our hat, is that it's the legal system or the rules that are govern this are designed to kind of help go out and find these people and help them. But the fact of the matter is that incentives are not necessarily always aligned with that, because while the intent is good, school systems have budgets, they've got issues and all that kind of stuff, and to go out and find these people and to provide these accommodations are not – they mean well, but the system is designed so that they really got to pay attention to some other stuff so it gets lost. And
right.
what I think you do, Dr. Katz, is bring to the table is when that's happening and it you're getting a one-size-fits-all answer, is a resource like yourself is stepping in as an outside advocate. And I think it might be worth talking about independent educational evaluations, what those are, what those roles are, and what you do. And then we can kind of get into how – an individual like yourself can kind of walk in and kind of help coach the parent on how to get away from the generic to the more customized.
Right.
So can you speak to that?
Well, let me comment. What you were talking about is child find. The schools have an obligation by law to look for kids who have disabilities and to provide services, but they don't generally do that. And, you know, ADD isn't always so easy to spot, but you know, it's out there. So what happens is what I end up telling parents is the laws are there for good reason. You know, they talk about your rights and responsibilities. Well, you do have rights, and it's important. And I always tell I saw an ADD kid today. He's in fifth grade, and he doesn't have a Section 504 plan or an IEP for special education, but he's going to be going into middle school next year, and he's going to be in big trouble. And I said to the parents, and I say this often, is you have to have a meeting with the school. Some parents say, well, we don't want the kid labeled. And I tend to say, look, the kid's going to have a label anyway. I mean, the teachers talk in the lunchroom about, oh, that kid over there, what a pain he is, right? I'd rather have the correct label, which is he's ADD, so the teachers say, aha, you know, he has difficulty with impulse control. That's what's going on. So I say to parents, you have to have a formal meeting with the school, an IEP meeting, a child study team meeting, or a 504 meeting. And even if at that time the school doesn't, you know, if the team doesn't think that he needs it, at least if it comes back up again or next year there are problems again, then you can say, look, we had a meeting last year. Look at your records. I'm not going to go through this again, right? We already talked about it. You know he's ADD already. Uh-huh. Now, a lot of times that's something that's important to say to the school. You have to give them the information so that if something comes up, they can't claim that they didn't know anything about it. So what happens is like for 504, and I don't know what the audience knows, is Section 504 is actually civil rights law. It's about access to education. And most kids are ADD, they don't need special educational services, but they need accommodations in the regular classroom so that the teachers can do some things so that their, quote, disability is not interfering significantly with their progress in school. Now, special education, some kids who are ADD also have a learning disability, so they might have an IEP. Or for some kids whose ADD is so severe that it so significantly interferes with their progress in school, they can get special educational services under category code OHI, other health impaired. And that gets them more services. They get accommodations,
yep.
But also services, somebody to help manage how the kid is doing in school.
Yes. Well, so one of the things that we were talking about is the fact that, you know, schools don't often meet their obligation to identify these students.
Right.
And even when parents are smart enough to request these IEP team meetings or a 504 meeting, they often are – the schools drag their feet. You know, they take their full 45 days, sometimes more, to do the evaluations. And often what – is presented then to the team is not a very thorough evaluation.
No. So the evaluation by the school's looking to see, do they have responsibility? And honestly, they're looking for the minimum, right? They're not doing in-depth to really figure it out. So if in fact you've had an evaluation by the school, every parent has a right to an IEE, an independent educational evaluation. And if the school does an evaluation and you disagree, you don't even have to have a reason. You don't have to have a reason to say it to the school. You can just say, I disagree with the results of this evaluation. Then you are entitled to this IEE. And what it means is that you can pick somebody of your choosing to do an evaluation privately, and the school will pay for it. And it has to be somebody who's qualified, you know, a psychologist or somebody else who's qualified, but you get to choose the person, and that person gets to do an independent educational evaluation that then goes to the school. And then the school has a bit of a harder time ignoring the issue when you have really good evidence as to how the youngster's being affected in the school. So it's parents really need to know about how things work at school, but that's part of the problem is the schools, there's a language that they speak, and they can talk circles around most parents. So the more a parent gets educated, the better. You know, I kind of see my job as educating the parents about what to do in meetings, but certainly if they get to a point that things are stuck, I mean, I can certainly go into a meeting too and kind of explain to the school how it's supposed to be. And I generally say that it's not that the teachers in the school don't have the kids' best interest in mind. I mean, I think the schools want to do well for the kids, but I don't think they always understand the kids. You know, either they think, well, it's a behavior problem and we just need to punish or to, you know, suspend or give him detention and he'll learn. But, you know, when this is happening, you know, a few times in a row, learning's not taking place. You're talking about ADD if you have a kid who's impulsive or other issues. So I think the schools often want to do well, but they do not understand the kid. And then there's always some teachers or administrators who really don't get it or don't want to get it. and they'd rather blame the kid and blame the parents.
Hey, I want to intersect here because I want to kind of back up because
yeah.
I'm a big picture guy, and I have to kind of put this in kind of context. And the reason for this show and the gist of it is it goes back to the title, When Your IEP and Section 504
okay.
kind of aren't working. And what I'd like to kind of frame out here is, again, the legislation has been passed, IEPs and 504 are there for a purpose to kind of help the people that are there. The issue
right.
really is, when you think about it, teachers, they've got kids in the classroom, schools have budgets, they have a gazillion things that are going on, and procedures are easy for them, and it's very easy to say, hey, listen, this is one size fits all. And Kirsten, when we were talking with Dr. Katz earlier, is like when somebody has ADD and they get one of these things, they give the generic, hey, listen, put the kid
right.
in the front of the class, those types of accommodations.
Right.
But the bottom line is your kid is different, and Dr. Katz and these IEEs are great for you to go outside of that system and bring somebody in, because at the end of the day, really, the school systems, I think, like you to a degree, Dr. Katz, if you can take the mystery out of it and say, listen, this kid's different. These are the specific accommodations
yeah.
that we need to do for this kid, not just the generic ones. If you can reveal that,
right.
they actually like that. And
well, yeah, in the end, they do, because in one way I talk to teachers about it and talk to the school about it is, you know, you can run around all year chasing after the kid and be very frustrated. Or there's some things that you can do on the front end that will probably be very helpful, and then you will be much happier as a teacher and feel like you've really done something for the kid, as opposed to being frustrated all year. You know, kids are smarter than us, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, if something's not working, you're going to see it in their behavior. You know, if the kid, in fact, oftentimes the reason I get called in is because of behavioral issues. You know, part of it's academic, but kids get into trouble. And so a big part of it is if a kid is having problems in school, something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's up to the adults to figure out what's wrong to make it right for the youngster. And I see that over and over again. If kids are having behavior problems, there's something about school that is frustrating them.
It's interesting how you phrase that. You know, Kirsten, you know, we've talked a little bit before about, you know, when a school implements an IEP or Section 504 and it's not working, it's a behavioral problem from the school system's perspective,
right?
Right.
Right. And yes, you know, and the parent starts getting the calls about behavior problems. My experience is in almost invariably, the school, if there's a problem, are not going to say to the parent, I think we need to have an IEP meeting, something's wrong with the goals, or we're missing something, please come in and let's get this figured out. In 99.5% of the cases, when there's a problem, it's generally me saying to the parent, you need to have an IEP meeting. You know, we can talk about this all day long, but until you request the IEP meeting, nothing's going to happen. The school is just going to continue the way they are. And the school can request and say to the parent, listen, something's not working, we need an IEP meeting, and let's get things straight. But they don't do that. They stick to the way things are supposed to be and then wonder why the kid isn't doing any better.
Dr. Katz, I want to ask Kirsten a question here, because we do have some shows, literally, we've taped them. It's kind of complicated why I can't do them live. But, you know, Kirsten, this reminds me of an interview that we had about, you know, the IEP is really about the teachers helping
right.
the students,
right.
not the students moving forward. So if the IEP isn't working, it's not necessarily always the student's fault. Sometimes the teacher's not implementing the IEP, and this is a paradigm shift. The schools are going to look at it as a behavioral problem as opposed to, wait a second, it's actually a teaching problem. And so, Kirsten, you want to make some comments in the space, because you see this stuff every day in your area, and you've been on that other interview?
Yep. Well, I think there are a lot of things that come to mind as we're talking about this. I mean, the first one is that oftentimes the schools are not following the IEP. Maybe they do it a little bit for a little while, and then, you know, when Johnny's doing well, so they kind of let it slide, and when Johnny's behavior goes back, they blame Johnny rather than the fact that they're not following the IEP anymore. The other thing that, you know, came to mind was also that when these IEPs and behavior plans and all this are being created to help the student do better, oftentimes, other than that evaluation, the thing that is missing in the whole equation is the student's input.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if the teacher is making an effort to follow whatever accommodations have been developed, oftentimes those accommodations have been developed by all these adults making these decisions about what change Johnny should make and how they should go about helping him or making him or whatever they want to say make those changes, rather than asking Johnny, you know, what's his motivation to change. I've never had a kid that I've interviewed when the adult said, you know, this is a problem, when the kid hasn't said, yeah, it is a problem, I want to do better.
Well, my
caution on
that.
Even if they're angry about it, you know, they, and in their heart, they want to do better. But somebody's got to ask them, what would be important enough, or how can we help you? Because if you're not giving them the kind of help that they want, that they can use, the effort is being wasted. And then everybody's...
I was going to say, my caution on that, though, is that, you know, schools will ask the kid to come into the IP meeting or the Section 504 meeting. I always advise parents, no. And the parents have the right to decide whether or not the child's in it. And the reason for that, at least initially, is if the child is in there, somebody's going to turn to the kid and say, don't you think you should get your work done? I mean, don't you think you should, you know, get the planner up for the teachers to sign? And the kid, you know, what's he going to say? He's going to say, yeah, you're right. And then they're going to say, see? And so, you know, if it doesn't happen, it's because of him. So what I tell parents is, do not have the kid in there. And you can say to them that, you know, once we don't want our kid to see adults disagreeing, right? Once we're all on the same plane and once we're all in agreement about what's going to be done, then it'd be great to bring the kid in and let the kid know, hey, you know, this is what we're doing for you and blah, blah, blah. But to have the kid in initially puts the kid in a very bad position, and a lot of the effort that should be going into writing a good plan ends up with interviewing the kid. So I kind of caution parents not to have the kid in initially, but you do, just as you're saying, somebody's got to be talking to the kid about what's going to work, because kids generally know.
What I'm hearing you say, Dr. Cass, is a little bit of you need to talk to the kids about the EAP. You don't necessarily pull them into the meeting, because leaving questions like, don't you think you should be doing this, is, I mean, that's the kids just compliant. But I think what Kirsten's saying is the school, you need to talk to the kid about that. But I think that's a little bit of part of what I understand that you do in the process in the evaluation if the IEP is not working.
Right. It is to figure out with the kid what the problem is. And I agree, you know, and I think we're all in agreement that kids want to do well.
Yep.
Kids want to do well.
And
if they're not doing well, something's in the way. And the teachers want to do well. But if it's not working, then we have to rethink what's happening. And you were talking about like IEP goals or behavioral goals. If the goals aren't being met, then we've done something wrong. You know, we misunderstood the situation. We didn't understand all the variables. And we need to go back and figure it out. It's the adult's responsibility to do it. And a lot of times when it comes to behavioral plans, it's written about what the child is supposed to do, and Kirsten's correct. It's not about what the child is supposed to do. It's what are the adults supposed to do to help the child so that the issues, that the behavior problems don't come up. You know,
I want to underscore, it's not what the child is supposed to do, it's what the adults are supposed to do. That's the paradigm shift that caught me when we talked to you several months ago. It's not about what the child is supposed to do. It's about what the adults are supposed to do. And as I've learned in training, like my dog, it's, when you go take your dog in to get trained, it's not about training the dog. It's about training you. And that's what's so interesting to me. Dr. Cass, I need to kind of run to a break. We come back, I want to kind of talk about, like, just the a few basics. Like, when you talk to me, it's like when your kid's coming home, he's doing 5 hours of homework, there's something wrong. And the notion of getting the parents angry at the school, your kids and stuff. I want to kind of talk to that when we come back. But before we do and we go to break, for our listeners that are out there and they've got some questions and want to know what's going on, I want to verify that if they've got some questions, they can email you with questions at info@drjeffreykatz.com. That's drjeffreykatz.com. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. I'd be happy to respond to people.
And everybody, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are Chad. the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving individuals with or impacted by ADHD. At CHAD, we provide information and help families and professionals to improve the lives of those with ADHD. On November 8th through 10th, CHAD will have its annual conference in San Francisco, California. If you are impacted by ADHD, this is a must-attend event. For details, go to chad.org. Interested in exhibitor and program opportunities? Call Barbara Rose at 240-487-2314.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to ADDCA.com and click on Find a Coach.
Train your brain with Brain Train. ADHD impacts grades, relationships, and the quality of life for your kids. Parents now have a new way to improve the lives of their ADHD child without using meds. Brain Train is designed to exercise your child's mind, to train it to work differently and efficiently. Learn how Brain Train can make a change by training your child's brain. Visit Brain Train at www.brain-train-adhd.com for more information today.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio.
And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We got Dr. Jeffrey Katz on the line, and we're talking about when your IEP and Section 504 plan aren't working. And before the break, we were talking about how there's legislation in place to help those that need it. I think the schools mean well, but there's so much that they're accountable for, and there's so much they have to learn, and parents mean well, but when you go out there and the system actually does it, this one-size-fits-all kind of gets into place, and when it's not working, an outside person like a Dr. Katz doing an IEE, which is an independent educational evaluation, can really be invaluable, because what I understand Dr. Katz does is he goes in and he takes a look at your child individually and takes the mystery out of it for both the parents and the schools, because I think we'll talk about this. I think the teachers want to do well, but if they don't know what to do, they don't know what to do. And they might get some training. They're not experts, blah, blah, blah. And what Dr. Katz can come in is he can do that for – take the mystery out of it for the teachers, but also help the parents because, again, I think what the misconception to me, the paradigm, the aha that I had in talking about this, it's not about what the kids are doing. It's what about the adults are really doing. If the IEP is not working, it's not necessarily a behavioral problem. It's the IEP is not working. And so – The cool part about this show is really to empower parents to say, hey, listen, there's resources in these IEs are places that you can go. Now, Dr. Katz, last time we spoke to you in preparing for this, we talked about a few philosophical things, and you said one thing about when your kid's coming home and doing 5 hours of homework, it needs to be modified. And we interviewed Terry Maitland a couple months ago about her – she's an ADHD professional, but her individual situation. And she said, you know, she mandated that in her IEP that homework didn't come home. And her argument was – and she didn't want to have that negative relationship with the kids. And it was very powerful for me because she said, you know, she really had to stand up like the military and insist that. But it kind of gets to that point is you don't want that adversarial relationship with your child when it comes home. Right. You want that kind of stuff. And when we were talking that one of your fundamental things is you want to get parents angry at the schools to take the pressure off the kid. Can you speak to that a second?
Yeah. Like I said, I get parents, you know, usually there's something wrong. Parents come in and they're upset with the kid. And what I try and show them is that the kid does want to do well, and I'll say to them, how long does the homework take? You know, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, and he doesn't want to do it. And I could kind of look at them and say, you know, that's way too much. You know, you just need to, you know, figure out how much time he can manage it. You know, it should only be half an hour, it should only be an hour. I don't know. The question is, well, how much can he manage? I mean, if he can only sit for 10 minutes without getting totally frustrated, well, that's where you're going to have to start. Now, we may want him to be able to do more, but that, you know, we've got to work him up to it. But right now, anytime you say homework, you know, the kid melts down. The same thing with classwork. You know, invariably, you know, unfinished classwork is sent home. And I immediately say to parents, you just send it right back to the school and say, look, we have enough problems at home. We can't deal with the classwork. You know, you all of the school, you all need to figure out how to help them with classwork. Don't send it home to us.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Katz, don't you also think, I mean, I have an ADHD son, and I know, I can tell you exactly what time his medication wears off during the day, because if he's home with me, it's very apparent because his mood changes. And it's usually about that time when, you know, he's finished his snack and we should be moving into homework. But at that point, he can't, the medication has worn off. It's too late in the day to give him something else. And I'm not going to be able to do this without having so much frustration.
Well, one of the philosophical issues is that it's not about how much work gets done. The issue is the child learning? You know, it's the old thing that if the kid has 20 math problems to do and he does 5 of them and you see, oh, he knows what he's doing, and if the next 15 are going to take another hour and kill him as well as you, it's not worth it. The issue is what the kid knows. One of the things that I'll often put into a 504 or an IEP is that the goal is mastery of what is being taught. So that the child's grade should not reflect whether he got all his work done or whether he got in late or whatever. It's what he knows. And the way you assess what he knows is not by how much work is done. And, in fact, if the kid, you know, is taking so long he's not getting the test done, well, then maybe somebody needs to go back to that kid and ask him the questions orally. Or if the kid is making mistakes because they don't follow directions very well, they're kind of impulsive, well, maybe somebody needs to go and talk to the kid and ask him the questions orally. Well, tell me a little bit about, you know, George Washington. And if the kid knows the information, he should get the grade for it. And then you have to look at the test and think about, well, this kind of test is not good for him. You know, maybe he needs a word bank. Maybe he needs fewer multiple choice questions. Or maybe he needs to be allowed just to write the answer and not write complete sentences. So the goal is for the child to be learning. It's not how much work it's done. And to me, that's a very good argument to the school. They don't have much to say to that. You know, do we want the kids to get work done at home? Yeah, but not at the expense of, you know, messing up a parent-child relationship.
Forgive me. I can't help myself here, but you were talking about ask the questions of a kid orally. And my youngest son is a big – I've watched The Blind Side, that movie, a dozen times. And if you're familiar with the movie, go back and listen to it, because it's a very inspiring story. But it basically, if you listen to this conversation, watch that show, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about, because it's so well illustrated in that thing. And kind of going back is that Dr. Katz. Get parents angry at the schools to take the pressure off the kids.
Right. And so the parents are angry with the kids. And what I try and get them to see is, wait a second, there are things the school can be doing to make things work better for you. You know, why are they giving him all this homework? How come they're giving him Fs because he didn't turn it in? Or, you know, one of the biggies is, you know, we'll be happy, you know, to have him have a planner and the teacher will sign it, but he has to bring it up to the front of the classroom to get it signed. But when the kid's problem is, you know, the bell rings and everybody's running for the door, what, your ADD kid is supposed to sit there and say, I think I'm supposed to bring the planner up, right? But that's a major problem for a kid who's ADD. So what I say to the parents is, just not fair to the kid. You know, he wants to do well. And usually once you get the kid talking, like, what would be most helpful for you, you know, when homework comes down, what would be most helpful for you? And the kid will give you some ideas. So you say, well, we can try that. Because, you know, that's part of the kind of therapeutic process is getting the parents and the kids to problem solve together. Now, a lot of kids will say stuff that you just know it's not going to work, but you go with it so you can have the kid have that experience and say, it didn't work that way. What can we do? Mm-hmm. But I'd rather the parents be mad at the school and let them start getting empowered with the school, because one of the good side effects of that is it takes the pressure off the kid, and the kid realizes that the parents are going to bat for them, right?
Now, I have a comment, though, because that can go
well, you can't be mean to the teachers. You got to say, you know, the teachers want to do a good job.
You've got to be careful because I was just having a conversation last night with somebody talking about the level of entitlement that some students and even their parents these days have, where they do go and they get mad at the schools, but sometimes for the wrong things. You know, when the student should be held accountable, they try and make excuses for them. So can you just speak to that? How do you define that boundary and help people so that they understand it's not about just getting mad over everything holding the student responsibility?
Correct. I mean, and there are two issues. You know, one overall issue, though, is the child has a disability, right? The kid is not pretending that they have ADD. It's a true thing. So, you know, if it's, you know, behavior or problem that's associated with ADD, you kind of have to start from there. The issue about taking responsibility to me is, do we want the child to be able to accomplish more work and to be able to persist in effort better? Absolutely. A lot of times the school will say, well, we'll give an accommodation, the child only has to do half of the problems. And I'll say,
right.
I don't know how much that child can do, but there's a way to find out. For example, you can do a baseline over 2 weeks. Let's get an idea of what percentage of work the child is getting done on their own, right? And maybe it's 50%. So how do you get the – first of all, we're not going to get them to 100%, right? But the question is, what can we do? So we say to the kid, well, look, here's – you've been doing 50% of the work. That's great. If you do three more questions, that's 55%. How about we try and get three more questions done? So you've broken it down because the problem for a kid is if they do their work, what do they get for it? They get more work. And kids with ADD are never done with their work. So there's always more work. So you start by saying, okay, well, let's see if we can get them to 55%. And let's say the kid, 55% is good. Good, you up it slowly again, 60, 65, 70. Maybe at 80%, every time you try and go above 80%, the kid's not managing it. You know what? The 80% is a new 100% for that kid. So I am not saying that kids shouldn't be responsible or that you shouldn't try and help them, but you have to be realistic, and then you have to have a plan to help them towards it. They're not going to be able to do it on their own. So what I say is if you want to work on a skill with the child, then we've got to get the plan in place in a way to help the child learn and how to help the child with that skill. It's not good enough to say, well, they just need to learn to be responsible, because that,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't work. It won't work.
I want to pause here for a second this is great because I'm listening to the two of you. I'm listening to the questions that I had asked, and I'm listening to, again, this other show that we had taped, and I keyed this up by saying getting angry at the school, not the parents. And I was listening to Kirsten like, whoa, that can be problematic. And this other interview, it can be problematic. But I'm starting to really realize, let's back up and say that's really a metaphor. The issue really is it goes back to that paradigm shift that I mentioned earlier. It's about the adults, not about the kids.
Yeah.
And the bottom line really is the shift is to move away from, hey, it's the kid, to the adults that are kind of going on, not necessarily directly to school, because you don't want to go battle with the school because you have to deal with them every day. I mean, it's dealing with them is really a diplomatic process. But the fundamental here is that you want to take the pressure off the kid because that's the dog that you're trying to train. It's about training the trainers. And if you can move that away and get that focus off of it, it really makes a lot of sense. And the other thing, too, is that I can tell you this. As a coach, the very first thing I ever address with anybody is we got to take the pressure off. And I always use this metaphor. The defense's purpose in sports is to put pressure on the offense because it inhibits performance. That's the reason you get in their face.
I like
and
that.
The bottom line is if you're putting pressure on your kid, it's going to inhibit their performance, particularly if it's an area of weakness. If it's an area of strength, like you I won't go on to some other places, but if it's an area of weakness, pressure inhibits performance. And what I liked about the fundamentals here is take the pressure off your kids. It's not about the kids. It's really about the adults.
And what our job is as the adults is to help the teachers understand how your child operates.
Yes.
What works for the child and what doesn't work. You know, we can't, you know, certainly if punishment worked and you punish a child for not doing their work, you know, and they got better and they were doing their work, that's great. I don't have a problem with it. But when the kid repeatedly has trouble getting their work done and you're punishing, you know what? It ain't working. You got to do something different.
And so it's how
does the child operate? And then it becomes interesting because I tell teachers, look, by the end of this year, you're going to be such a good teacher because this kid is going to train you. You're going to learn so much about how kids work by dealing with this kid and trying to figure him out and being a step ahead of him. We just need to be one step ahead of him, and we'll be okay.
Absolutely. So I need to run to another break, but for everybody out there, we've been talking about this high-level type stuff, and what I've learned about ADD is sometimes they need to understand what this really looks like. So imagine that the IEP isn't working, and you go and you engage somebody in an independent evaluation. Dr. Katz, last time we spoke to you, we talked about a situation where a kid who was failing quizzes because he needed more processing time, he got A pluses on the tests, but the issue was he needed more processing times, and just to show up and give him a quiz that day, a pop quiz was different. And that, I think, when I come back, I'd like you to comment on that, and I'd like to work backwards because you go and you do an individual assessment, and you get to the outcomes where you're walking in and saying, listen, this kid's smart. He's getting this stuff. It's a processing issue. And when you walk in and say, listen, you're doing everything right, but you've got to give this kid more time to assimilate that information in order to do it. I think that really speaks to it. So, again, everybody, if you've got a question or want to get in contact with Dr. Katz, go to info@drjeffreykatz.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We've got Dr. Jeffrey Katz, and we're on a very important topic for you parents out there. When the IEP and Section 5.0 plans aren't working, you have alternatives. You can go outside and get these IEEs from experts like Dr. Katz. And we've been talking about the I'm a macro thinker, and sometimes you look at the motivations and stuff that's kind of going on. I think people had really good intent in this process, but at the end of the day, tactically, they have to deal with what's in front of them, and the stuff is not aligned. And I think if it is apparent when it's not working, you can reach out to a person like Dr. Katz and have these evaluations done to come in and take the mystery out of the situation, which is a godsend for not only the parents but also the teachers. Later, I'd like to talk to you, Dr. Katz, about how when you do these things, sometimes teachers will call you up independently and ask for your questions because you're taking the mystery out of it and they know what to do. They actually embrace what's going on. But before the break, I gave an example to try to say, what does this really look like? Because when you go through these individual assessments, it really is about not a one-size-fits-all type of thing. You're breaking it down on an individual level. So can you talk about the evaluations, the level of detail, the data that you get into, and how when you walk in, you unveil the mystery so everybody knows what's going on, so the adults can do what they need to do, so it's not all about the kids.
And a good evaluation should write a story. A good evaluation should be a really great story about the kid. And part of the evaluation is the history that, you know, oftentimes that these issues have been going on for a long time. This is not the first time the kids had trouble with something. But also even with psychological testing, and when you're looking at verbal skills or perceptual reasoning skills, and one of the things, working memory and processing speed. Working memory and processing speed are almost invariably always a problem for kids who are ADD. You know, and it gets into the whole executive functioning stuff. I still work with a kid, actually, who is one of the brightest kids in one of the local school districts here, and he is ADD. And he's actually a senior this year in school. Last year, he was in a social studies class, and, you know, he's very bright, so he's in the advanced classes, and he should be in advanced classes. But the assignment was you read 50 pages every night, and when you walk in the next morning, you get a quiz. And he failed essentially every single quiz the whole year. And like you said before the break, A pluses on the exams, on the test. Mm-hmm. He knew what was going on. But for him to go home and read 50 pages, first of all, you know, when all of the homework is just taking forever, even if he did, to walk in the next morning, he has not processed that information. It takes him a good week to kind of get what it all meant, you know, particularly if he doesn't have a chance to have a discussion about it or isn't hearing a discussion. But he's just, you know, he reads great, but it takes some time to read it. He gets distracted. You know what it's like. You have to go back and reread it again. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen for him. And the boy had a 504 plan, and this particular teacher was just not going for it. You know, this is the way my class is supposed to be, and if he can't handle it, maybe he's in the wrong class. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, we had plenty of testing to show this was not the wrong class. This is an extremely bright kid, and you can tell, right? But it took, actually, we ended up getting the kid eligible for special educational services to say that this is the way it's got to be done for him, you know. And you know, one of the things they wanted to put in this 504 for the accommodation is that he would get extra time if he puts forth the effort.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, absolutely no. What do you mean if he puts forth the effort? He wants to do well. I mean, he's getting A's, right? So to say, oh, you know, only if you put forth the effort. But that was the problem, is this teacher assumed that this kid didn't care. And that was a big mistake. So, you know, we did not allow that into it, you know. Again, that's kind of going back to our responsibility. But, you know, one of the things you mentioned is, like, if the kid isn't doing well, what should parents do? If the child has an IEP and they have goals, whether it's to learn to read better or to improve their organization, a problem is that the schools do not write the goals in a way that they are measurable, and they don't write them in a way that you can go back and check. If the child has problems with writing and doesn't use punctuation, and that's one of the IEP goals, to get something back from the school at a report card saying SP, he's making sufficient progress, doesn't mm-hmm. tell you anything. And at the end of the year, you know, kid could be doing very poorly. So what you would want to say to the school is every 2 weeks you would like to see that assessed. They can give them a sentence and ask them to punctuate it. And then you want to see the results. Even if the teacher every 2 weeks just gave you a percentage of what they think he's doing, at least the teacher's paying attention to the goal. Because a lot of times when parents complain that the kids are not making progress, and the teacher says, oh, he's getting sufficient progress. Well, how did the teachers know this? You know, because his classwork is good, but we know classwork's a problem. So you understand, you need to break the goals down into really tiny parts, and you want to see that child making progress. You should be able to go to that teacher and see the chart to show that he's doing better. And in the end, you would want teachers to enjoy this, because if the kid is not making progress, then they would see that themselves and realize, uh-oh, something's not working. He's not getting it like we thought he was. But too many times, you know, the kid is just, you know, kind of moved along without anybody really paying attention to the goals. And, you know, a lot of kids with ADD, they have big behavioral problems. You know, there can be big behavioral problems. And it's the same thing, you know, just to say that he's going to behave better during the school year or get along with his peers. But what is the school doing to help the kid with that? You know, the goals are what, you know, where you want the kid to get. But the kid's not going to get there unless there's some type of intervention going on from the school. And you can't track that unless you have goals that are very specific in that you can get very frequent feedback as are they progressing along their goals. Does that make sense?
You mean, yeah, it was. And that's I keep kind of backing up the when we're talking about ADHD. It's interesting because when I first started this show, I thought I was going to run out of material real quick. And the more I get into it, the deeper it is. But the idea really is that to educate the parents on kind of what's going on and saying, hey, listen. Mm-hmm. There are the details, and then there's fundamentally how this really kind of works. And as a parent, you got to get involved, you got to kind of get engaged, and you need to kind of go in. And if some schools probably are getting this thing right, everybody has the right intention, but sometimes you need like somebody on the outside to do this and can walk in and unreveal the mystery and say, this is really kind of how it works. And that's the services and stuff that you provide and the coaching to parents. And I understand that you sometimes will actually accompany parents to meetings. Sometimes you'll advise them. And the other thing that was interesting to me is last time we talked is that most IEPs are poorly written.
Absolutely. That's my feeling, yes. And you get them, you see it's cookie cutter because they put the wrong name in it. You know, they cut and pasted from somebody else's IEP. Not very good.
And for the parents that are listening out there, you might be overwhelmed by this show, and I acknowledge that. But the point really is that rather than just jump into the details, back up and take a look at the landscape and say, listen, the schools really actually – I think they really want to try, but they're hampered.
Mm-hmm.
You have your child who's unique and different and individual. I like what you've discussed tonight, Dr. Katz, and the examples is you have like a lot of really bright kids in this situation if you do it in a certain way. And as a parent, don't put the pressure on your child.
Right.
Back up and say this is about the adults. Realize what you're getting into when you go to the schools. I think the teachers have the right intent. They just don't know what to do.
Right.
And a person like you can walk in and do an individual assessment, unveil the mystery, the teachers then know what to do, and it's about the adults at that point in time. If the kid's not responding, then the adults should be saying, what are we not doing right? It's not about the kid. We're not getting the motivational issue here. It's about us.
Right, and I tell parents that when every meeting you have, before you leave, you have to set up the next meeting. Because in the schools will say, well, let's see how things go. We don't need to set up a meeting. And you say, no, I want to set up a meeting. You know, it could be in a month, 2 months. But I don't want to wait for there to be a problem to have to come in. You know, when things are going well, it can be a real short meeting. But to think that we've solved the whole problem in this 2 hours and everything's going to be fine the rest of the year doesn't make sense.
Yep.
You know, kids are people too.
Yep.
Things are going to change. You've got to give the school the idea that, you know, you don't expect the school to be perfect. But we have to have a mechanism in place so that when things aren't working and to prevent things from unraveling, it's good to meet on a regular basis and talk about how things are going. You don't expect them to be perfect. But if we can work together and we got the same goals in mind, this is actually very doable.
Dr. Katz, the one thing that I took away from most of our conversation is, number one, take the pressure off your kid.
Yes.
Number two, it's about looking at your kid and understanding how they are. And as a coach, all the time I advocate ADHD. Certain traits are really good in some situations. They're not really good in some situations. So the glass is not half full. It's not half empty. It just is.
Right.
And the idea is if you understand what's there and you can create the right environment for your kid to thrive, it's there. And a person like you can kind of walk into the system as an outside and provide knowledge to reveal the mystery, both to the parents, both to the schools, and at the end of the day, a good IEE can actually be the godsend to everybody because everybody wants the right outcome, but they don't necessarily know what to do. And the education that you provide in that process is there. Now, understand the schools do not have to go with what you're saying, but really quickly, if I understood you right, sometimes you release these and teachers will call you privately because they're longing for this information, right?
Right, and they don't get it. We didn't even get into behavioral intervention plans and FBAs, but I've had teachers who have, on their own time come to my office to sit down to figure out how to write these things because they realize they haven't been taught and they haven't had the in-services to understand how to work a really good behavioral program. And I mean, that's really nice when a teacher admits to you that they really don't know what to do and they would like some help.
But
because then you got a teacher who cares about the kid and wants to learn.
But in defense of the teacher, you know, I got 25 kids. I got 25.
I got
50
yeah,
parents
yeah.
I got to deal with in a situation. I've got technology. I've got to learn. I got new curriculum. I got to learn because it's changing left and right all the time. I got to understand ADD. I got to understand dyslexia. I got to understand learning disabilities. I got to understand autism. I got to understand. It's overwhelming. You can't do it all. And so, to a certain extent, again, I see you as a godsend because you can walk in and make it so easy for these people.
It's doable. It's doable, you know. And if we stop blaming the kid, it's very doable. And because, you know, if the teacher says, I've got 25 kids in classroom, look, that's why I say if you want to run around and waste your energy on chasing after the kid,
yep.
you can do that. But if we can sit down and be proactive and figure it out, you know what? Everybody's going to be happier.
Absolutely.
I don't want the kid being disruptive in your class. If they're being disruptive, let's figure out why and work it out. You know, we can do that.
So, Dr. Katz, I for our listeners out there, just as a reminder, if you've got any questions on this, go to info@drjeffreykatz.com. And Dr. Katz, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been very insightful. I hope everybody out there, we've covered a lot of material. It might be kind of confusing, but the bottom line is I hope that we've empowered you and given you like the strategies of what's kind of going on. And sometimes you need to step out of the system when it's not working and get somebody to kind of come in to help everybody because a rising tide lifts all boats. And I think your insights, Dr. Katz, are like absolutely amazing. And the bottom line is an individual like you can actually coach parents on how to deal with the system more effectively.
Yeah. And Jeff and Kirsten, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
And then, so Dr. Katz, thank you very much for coming on the show. And everybody, catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.